Now let's open our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John. Let's go over to John chapter 10 this morning, if you would. And let's look at chapter 10 in the book of John, Gospel of John, and starting in verse 3. Says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Say, I hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Say, he leads me. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Hallelujah. Say, I know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Say, I know his voice, and I follow him. Now, I would share this and encourage you to never, ever, ever say, I don't hear him. You say, I hear his voice. Because when you say, I don't hear him, you're in conflict with him. You're in conflict with what the Lord said. I wouldn't want to say you're calling him a liar, but in a sense, that's what we're doing. We're saying something contrary to what the Lord has said. He said, my sheep hear my voice. So I choose to believe that and say it. I hear his voice and I follow him. Amen. He is my shepherd. John 14, let's look at John 14, and let's look at starting in verse 15, John 14, starting in verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is in the King James Version I'm reading from. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, I'm going to give you a comforter. He said, I'm going to give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. Say, I know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. So he said, I'm going to give you another comforter like myself, another comforter, someone just like me. But he's not only just going to be with you like me, but he's going to be where? In you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have another comforter. But he lives in me, and I hear him, and I follow. Glory to God. And then verse 26 in that same chapter, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, that's who the Comforter is, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So this said here, he teaches us all things. So the one who knows all things lives in us. And he can show us all things. Hallelujah. Isn't that in John chapter 1 and verse 4? It says, in him was life, and the life was the what? The light. So that means if I have light, I can do what? I can see. I can see all things. He said, I will show you all things. So the spirit of life, the spirit of light lives in me and is showing me all things. So I shouldn't walk in the darkness, should I? Because I have the light of life, have the spirit of life living in me. Hallelujah. So just as an overview, we shared that there were four ways that the Lord leads us, the four ways we hear him. The primary way that we hear him is in his word. That's how we hear him primarily. I heard a minister say, if you want to know what I'm saying, read my word. And if I've got anything else I want to say to you, I'll speak to you. That's a good way of putting it, right? You want to know what I'm saying? Go to my word. Read it. That's what I'm saying. And if I've got anything else I want to say to you, I'll talk to you. See, we're looking for him to talk, and he's saying, go to my word. Find out what I've got to say. Amen. Glory to God. And then the other is the inward witness. We're talking about your conscience speaking, the still small voice of your spirit. It said we're led by the inward witness. It's really the still small voice of our spirit speaking. And then there's a co-witness, an assurance. We pick up what he's saying. Hallelujah. And what I was sharing in these past lessons, and maybe we should just jump over there. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8, because I don't really want to spend... Well, yeah, let's jump in here. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 14. Or actually, why don't we start with verse 1, Romans chapter 8. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who what? Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We'll go back there. For the law of the Spirit is of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, this whole chapter is contrasting the flesh and the Spirit. Walking after the flesh, walking after the Spirit. Setting our minds on carnal things and spiritual things. The contrasting the flesh and the Spirit. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, and the Amplified, it talks about setting your mind on spiritual things, or setting your mind on the Spirit. It says, they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also what? Quicken, give life to your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, see, he's talking about the flesh again. You shall what? Die. But if you through the spirit do what? Mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It doesn't say he bears witness with our mind. It doesn't say he bears witness with my flesh. He bears witness with my spirit. So we can say, I am internally led, not externally led. We are not led by circumstances. We're not led by things that we see and touch and feel. Although we see them, we're led by the inward witness, by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, I'm led inwardly, not externally. Hallelujah. I'm not led by worry. I'm not led by frustration. I'm not led by depression. I'm not led with those external forces. And we all experience them. We all experience feelings of impatience. We all experience symptoms, not symptoms, but pressure. We all feel that. Feelings of worry, feelings of impatience, feelings that come of depression. They all come. But I'm not led by that. Why? I'm led by life and peace. I'm led by the quickening. Right. And that quickening said what? He shall quicken my mortal body. So I'm not subject. I'm subject to it, but I don't have to give in to it. Do I? Hallelujah. I'm led by the Spirit of life, who is what? The one that quickens, and I have peace. He's called the Spirit of Peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the witness, you could say, is the Spirit of life. He's the Spirit of Peace. And when I'm spiritually minded, I am led by life and peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not led by, as you said, the school of hard knocks. I'm not led by that. Maybe it'll work out, maybe it won't. Maybe God's in this, maybe he's not. No, if he's in it, then he's leading me. And I have the witness. I have a quickening. I have a knowing. He said he'll show me and teach me all things. He'll show me all things. So I don't have to walk in the dark, do I? I don't have to bump around in life. Glory to God. So, verse 6, I just wanted to highlight a couple of scriptures in Romans 8:16. It says, and of course in the King James it said, the Spirit itself or himself bears witness with our spirit that what? We're the sons, the children of God. But the Knox translation says, the Spirit himself thus assures our spirit. He assures it. What does that mean? I'm going down this road and I'm making a commitment to go this way. And there's what? There's peace. He assures me, yep, keep going. He gives you an assurance, it's okay. But I may be moving along and there's a witness, there's an assurance that, hold up. There's a, that stop. So When I start to move in a particular direction, he will, it says, assures our spirit. The J.B. Phillips said, the Spirit himself endorses our inward conviction. So when I have a conviction to go a particular way, he will endorse it or not. Just highlighting some things that we shared before. And the Amplified said, the Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us. So there's a co-witness. Your spirit has a conviction to go in a particular direction, make a certain choice, and he will assure you. He will endorse it. That's a co-witness. If you don't, see, that's why I said, some folks are sitting waiting for God. God's saying, get up and do something. He's saying, make a choice. Yes, we pray and ask for God's direction. If I don't get a direction, I need to get up and do something. I need to make a choice. I need to get up and move in a particular direction. You can't steer a parked car. You got to make some choices. And in moving, he will do what? Assure you, endorse it. He'll tell you, no, you're on the wrong road. Go over here. That's what he does. Amen. And the scripture is very clear about, you know, yes, at offering time, we say, ask the Lord for direction on your giving. We do. And I do. If he doesn't say anything, you choose. What a man purposes in his heart. You purpose to give something, and he does what? He says, yep, or give more, or give less. He will assure you and endorse what you're doing. Because I may want to give a certain amount, and the Lord's wanting to get something to me, and he says, no, give this amount. Right? He's a good father. He's watching our what? Our progress. And he's helping us along the way. Glory to God. So what are we following? We're following life and peace. Now, let's turn over to... We'll stay there for a moment, and I wanted to just highlight this again. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind. They set their mind on, in this case here, it says to be, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So they set their minds on something. In this case, it's flesh. And it says, they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. So they set their what? Their minds on spiritual things. So what you set your mind on, you open your heart up to. What you set your mind on, you open your heart up to that. And again, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so I wanted to just, let's highlight that. So let's go over this morning. We're just going to walk through some scriptures here this morning. Let's go over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And I'm trusting you're going to see this a little more clearly this morning about what you set your mind on. Because what the Lord has prompted me here to do, to share this morning, is that we want to hear him more clearly. And we want to be more spiritual. But what we set our minds on will impact that. And so, you know, how many know, you know, usually, and I say usually, you see in the Christian church, some anyways, and don't get upset if I use certain terms and kind of wrinkle and whatever, but just hold on and listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. How many usually see churches that say we have to do a long fast at the beginning of the year because we want to know, we want to hear from God, right? Isn't that not true?
Yes.
Or they use, we have to have a consecration. Anybody hear that?
Yes.
Now, I'm not against that. But what I am asking is, if you look at the scripture, and you look at the context, when we talk about what we set our minds on, why do we have to have this, I got to set this chunk of time aside to have a consecration to hear God when I should be what? Spiritually minded all the time. So what that tells me is too many distractions in life. And yet, see, Brother Hagin talked about this. He said when he was ministering, he would set a day or two a week. When he was ministering, he would take maybe one day a week and just have water or something very light, and he would fast. Okay? That was his choice. And he said that after doing that for a while, the Lord spoke to him and said, I would rather you live a fasted life than specific times of fasting. And when we live a fasted life, we're not distracted as much. And we become more spiritual. Am I right? And yet, I'm not against fasting if the Lord leads you to do that. And he does. There may be a season he wants you to fast.
All right.
Brother Hagin said when he was alive, he never fasted more than 3 days on food. Mm. Now, I'm not here to tell you that it's wrong. If the Lord leads you, he will give you the grace to do that. And there's a purpose behind it.
Yes.
But I see all too often that there's these things that are created so we can hear him when he's telling us in the word, if we are spiritually minded, right, we set our mind on spiritual things, that we're led by luck. We have life and peace. So what I'm finding sometimes, this is me, if you look at the New Testament, you see fasting discussed in the Gospels. Let me ask this question for the Bible students. Do you see fasting referred to in the Pauline epistles? Do you? Right. And so, it's the revelation that Paul received was what? Who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and how to become perfected in Christ. And yet, we're to be led by him. So he may lead you to set time aside to hear him. And part of that may be he may want you to fast. But what I'm sharing is that too many distractions in life. And it can cause us to be carnal and not spiritual. And that affects the hearing. It affects the hearing. So did you get to 1 John? Now let's look at 1 John chapter 5. And looking at, starting at verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that does what? Beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness, verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Verse 11, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now look at verse 20. Jump down to verse 20. And we know, not we think so, we know that the Son of God has come and does what? Has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. Why do we have this understanding? So that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now that word understanding is really a word, I'm going to read it in another translation, it really means a mind. It means to have a way of thinking or thoughts. Listen to this. This is the Young's literal translation. This is the literal translation, the Greek translation of this. Verse 20 of 1 John 5, it says, and we have known that the Son of God has come and hath given us a mind, that we may know him who is true. The complete Jewish Bible says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us discernment. Yeah. So that we may know who is genuine. Moreover, we are united with the one who is genuine. I believe, doesn't the Bible say, we have what? The mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. 1 John 2:20, it says, but you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You understand all things. And in 1 Corinthians, that's what I was referring to before, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, and well, I'll jump down to verse 12. It says, in 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And then verse 15, it says, but he that is spiritual, see, we're talking about spiritual, judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have, say, I have the mind of Christ. Now, in that chapter, why don't you turn there for a moment, because I want to just highlight something in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you look at the context of this chapter, at the very beginning of chapter 2, he says, and I, brethren, Who's he speaking to? He's talking to the church. He's talking to us. And he goes through and he begins to share all of what we were reading. And he says, but we have the mind of Christ. But he continues. Keep looking down into verse chapter 3, and he said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto what? Spiritual. He just got done saying, we have the mind of Christ, and he said, but I can't speak to you as spiritual. He said, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And he continues down, and he says, you know, you're carnal. He said, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And he continues. He shares with them why they're carnal. Right? But yet, see, when you look at it, this is who he was speaking to this church. They had some things to correct. And he said, if you want to be spiritual, this is what you got to correct. You're carnal. Right? So they even though they were born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, they were carnal. Because there was strife, divisions, things they set their minds on. And what they set their minds on, they opened themselves up to. And they weren't spiritual. And, you know, he said, you have the mind of Christ. So what we're looking at here, and I'll read this in 1 Corinthians, same church, Paul speaking to in chapter 1 in verse 10. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. He's telling them this. Back in the first chapter, he said, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So what we set our minds on, what we focus and set our minds on, and I'm going to say this, where's your mind? I'm going to say this. Your brain is not your mind. Your brain is not your mind. Because when you leave this earth, your mind doesn't die. Your mind is on the inside. And what you set your mind on, you open your heart up to. So when we set our minds, which are on the inside, and we set our minds on him who's on the inside, we touch him. We contact him. That's what he's saying. We can know him when we set our minds on him. When you set your mind on something spiritual, you open your heart up to something spiritual. You touch it. You contact it, another way of saying it. So when you set your mind on something spiritual or carnal, you've touched it with your mind. Think about this. I'll read this. It'll help you. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as what? Touching. When you touch with your mind something that's carnal or something that's spiritual, you contact it. You touch it, and you open your heart up to it. And that's where, when we set our minds, think about this, when you set your minds on worry, and you set your minds on something that's carnal, it causes confusion. It causes death. It causes darkness. So you can't see properly. Isn't that what it says, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened so that we may what? Know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of the inheritance that's in the saints. So when the eyes of our understanding enlightened, so when we set our minds on something that's carnal, our eyes, our hearts are darkened to the light. Amen. So when we put our minds on something, we touch it. Think about this. I'm going to read some scriptures that will help in this area. Matthew 15 and verse 11. It talks about, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. So when you set your mind on something, you open your heart up to it, it gets down in your heart, and when you speak it, you give life to it, it does what? It defileth. So the converse would be true. If I set my mind on spiritual things and I get it on the inside and I speak it, I release life. So that's why it's so important to think about what your mind touches. And that's why when you look at the media, you look at what the devil tries to perpetrate through the eye gate, through the ear gate, he wants you to touch it and open your heart up too. To death, to darkness. Think about, I'm just throwing some other scriptures out here. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So I don't think I would be incorrect by saying this. We are to walk spiritually and not carnally. When we walk by faith, we're walking spiritually. When we walk by sight, we're walking carnally. Same thing. Throw another scripture, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate on it day and night. Your mind is touching it. You're meditating on it. You're thinking about it. And what does it say? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and you'll have good success. Set your mind on it. Meditate on it. Observe to do it. See? So back to these things about the distractions in life. And when you I'm going to express this here. When we set our minds inward on spiritual things, the eternal life that's in us begins to affect us. See, you can have eternal life in you, and you can be carnally minded, touching carnal things, and the eternal life doesn't affect you. That's what Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. They had eternal life. He said, but you are still carnal. So the eternal life that was in them wasn't affecting them to the degree that it should, was it? So when eternal life is in you, when you set your mind on spiritual things, the eternal life that's in you has a bigger impact. It begins to affect you in a greater way because you're not carnal. See, I'm sharing all of this in context of what? Hearing him clearly, following him. The more things we touch in this world, the the more our mind touches things that are not godly, they're not spiritual, it begins to affect our hearing, our being led by Him. Too many worldly distractions, or I said before, being worldly. Amen. Let me just share a few scriptures and then we'll close because we're just adding two. Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The Good News Translation says, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." So be careful how you think. Be careful what you put your mind on. And of course, the Complete Jewish Bible, it says, "Above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences." And let's all turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And this is a very familiar scripture. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit, and the joints and of the joints and marrow, and is what? A discerner of what? The thoughts." Say the thoughts. Things we set our mind to, thoughts. And what? The intents of the heart. The God's Word translation says, "God's Word is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword and cuts as deep as the place where the soul and spirit meet, the place where joints and marrow meet. God's Word judges a person's thoughts and intentions." He judges that between our thoughts and intentions. That's why when you begin to touch something with your thoughts, the Holy Ghost, what? The Word of God is a discerner. It cuts between the thoughts and intents. When you touch something, He ought to be down there saying, "Mm-mm, don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't think on that. Don't feed on that." Right? There ought to be a witness on the inside. He's here to do what? He's our helper. He's the one to guide us and help us. Stay away from this. What? You're on the wrong road. I'm thinking about that. Nope. Go over here. Stay away from that. It's not good for you. This is all helping us to hear Him better and clearer. So, really, we'll pick up again, and in Psalm 119, what does it say? "The entrance of His words giveth light." So the entrance of God's Word will give us light, but we've got to touch it. When we touch ungodly things, it darkens. It doesn't give us light. And so that can hinder us hearing Him. So what we set our minds on is key. What we think about, what we meditate on. And so I'm making extra effort. I've been doing it since last year, making extra effort to put extra time or be more selective about what I put my mind on. Because if you're going to want to grow spiritually, you're going to have to discipline yourself as to what you put your mind on. Now, am I saying you can't have fun and enjoy things? I'm not saying that, but be led. Listen on the inside. If you're going to grow spiritually, there should be some things that the Lord begins to say, I don't want you doing that anymore. I don't want you touching that anymore. I don't want you feeding on that anymore. It's not helping your spiritual growth. And yet, if we want to hear him clearly, this is going to be key in our growth. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. Glory to God. We're coming at this a couple of different ways, and what I'm finding is that things in this earth are getting, the devil's going to put things in front of us to draw us in, things that we may say, oh yeah, you know, whatever it is, politics, job, racial tensions, he's going to draw us into these conflicts to touch it and weigh it. We need to ask the Lord, is this helping me or not? You need to ask him. Ask for his guidance. Because if he said he leads me and shows me all things, he teaches me all things, then if he's my teacher, if he's my helper, then I say, Holy Spirit, show me if I should get involved in this. Show me if I should be involved in this or even think about it. Right? Because what I see is that the church, this is what the devil is trying to do. He wants the church fractured on what it sets its mind on. And when he draws the church to set its mind on things that are carnal, what happens? No unity. He gets us to touch things, and it causes the church to walk out of love, and there's no unity. He leads by hate. God leads by love. And I can tell you, when you start setting your mind on these things that are carnal, it stirs up what? Feelings on the inside, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, it does. It stirs up stuff on the inside of us that's not godly. And you know it, and I know it. Because I started, even recently, started reading stuff, and it starts to stir up feelings. And I go, that's ungodly. Shut that off. I'm not touching that. I can get my information from the Holy Ghost. Because the more you feed on that, you're planting some seeds in your heart and your mind. Your mind is the gateway to your heart. Just shut it off. See, if you don't have peace, if it stirs up something in you that's not peaceful, it's not godly. If it doesn't stir up a quickening, a godlike quickening, it's not godly. And that ought to be your clue right there. Don't read it. Shut it off. Turn it off. Get your leading, get your information from the one that lives on the inside of you. Let him lead you and guide you. Amen. The devil hates this. He wants to pull people into conflicts. Wherever we all live, you know. You know, it can be the decisions made by the government or the president. Bah, who does he think he is? And da, bah, bah, and they touched my stuff and da, 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 da. And you start feeling some kind of way, as they say. Tell your mind to just shut up. Because if you're feeling that way, there's no peace in it.
Amen.
That's not God. That's carnal. And it will lead to death or darkness. no light, no peace. Amen. Father, we thank you today. Father, we thank you as we meditate, as we touch your word, as we touch spiritual things, we have peace and life. Father, show us, reveal to us, enhance our spiritual sensitivity to know those things that are not godly and to drop them. And we purpose to grow spiritually. Bring back to our remembrance, even if we slip into it, remind us, Holy Spirit, as this church, remind each one of us that when we get over to touching carnal things, help us. Shut it down. And we purpose to do it and be disciplined to do it and follow after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm determined. I am determined to follow him and be led by life and peace and the love of God. Isn't that what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the very first verse? It says, follow after charity. Follow after love. Amen.